Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
George Magnus has followed crises for years with UBS. He is our senior advisor. Mr. Magnus, we welcome you this morning. George, good morning. What will you watch for this weekend? What will you listen for as Cyprus, Brussels, Frankfurt, and Moscow try to get to Monday?
Yeah, well, it's a fast-breaking story. I mean, I think there are some stories going around as we speak, really, that so-called Plan B, which the Cypriot government was going to propose, which would have included the establishment of a fund, and they were going to, you know, nationalize some of their pension funds, and they also had a kind of restructuring plan, which would have created a good bank and a bad bank, and, you know, put all the insured deposits up to 100,000 euros in the good bank and everything else in the bad bank.
Yeah.
Seemingly, these ideas have not found favor with EU officials. So, I mean, I suppose what we're waiting for, really, because, you know, especially bearing in mind that the ECB has threatened to pull its liquidity provision to the Cypriot banks, which is running at about 9 billion euros, on Monday, if there isn't an agreement with the EU and IMF. So we really need to see, I suppose, you know, what the Cypriot parliamentarians actually come up with and whether it's acceptable to the EU and the IMF.
Well, when it's acceptable to the EU and the IMF, is Cyprus in control of their destiny? I can't figure that out this morning.
No, well, it's really, I mean, I've never seen such brinkmanship on the part of the EU with regards to one of its sovereign debtor countries in this whole crisis. And I can only imagine that this is due in large measure to the real concerns that I think EU officials and politicians have about formalizing a kind of a Russian vassal state inside the EU if the Cypriots were to get financial assistance or loans from Russia. So what the EU is basically telling Cyprus is, you know, you've got to do this the way that we think you ought to do it and not go outside for assistance or collateralizing future gas revenues for a loan from the Russians and so on. And you've got to play by the rules in the EU if you want to, you know, to have our support. So it's strategically, I mean, obviously it's quite different in a way from Ireland and Greece and Portugal and so on. It's strategically quite different, and it has kind of geopolitical implications which were not present before. So, the Cypriots obviously have to do something with the deposit levy. I mean, I think the Europeans, Northern Europeans and Germans especially, very keen that they should basically recognize the insolvency of the two big banks and bail in, you know, the bigger depositors.
You know, George, this is Joe Bruzuelas. You mentioned brinkmanship. Okay, let's get to it. Who blinks first in the game of financial Russian roulette? Is it the Greeks? Do they go the Icelandic route, leave the euro, go bankrupt? Or is it Europeans come up with the $17 billion needed to plug the gap and do the bank restructuring?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest.
Well, which one? Which one's not going to happen?
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. I think the last solution, which is basically go for the whole hog of the $17 billion, I don't think that's going to happen because, it's not in Cyprus's interest. They'd never be able to pay it back. And they would just have to be further bail-ins and restructurings in, you know, 6 months' time. And I think, you know, Germany has basically said, $10 billion is the limit. You've got to come up with the rest in an acceptable form. But who's going to blink first? I mean, you know, I could eat these words on Monday, to be honest. But I mean, I think that if Cyprus, you know, goes half, three quarters of the way to where the EU wants them to be, I think the ECB will blink. I don't think they're going to risk a collapse of the Cypriot banking system, default, and possibly exit euro any more than they were willing to risk that with Greece. I mean, that would be, particularly in a year when Germany is having elections, I think that would be a bridge too far, to be honest. So I suspect the ECB will blink in the end.
Everybody's in the pool together, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And, I think the way in which this whole Cypriot saga has been handled is the persistent failure, really, on the part of politicians to be able to break you know, this vicious circle between weak bank balance sheets and weak sovereign balance sheets. Of course, you know, the Europeans have been through this. We've had a really bad experience, obviously, with Ireland a few years ago when the Irish actually did extend full deposit guarantees to all of their depositors. Of course, it triggered the sovereign crisis. So, you know, by now, you know, we would have imagined that they would have had plans to inject, you know, equity capital into banks out of the bailout mechanism, which is the European Stability Mechanism, or at least to have had kind of a Europe-wide fiscal arsenal, basically, to break the links and to establish, you know, a regulatory and resolution regime for banks. But this clearly is a very, very slow process,
right,
and meets a lot of resistance from Northern Europeans.
He's with Bloomberg Economics, where he writes an 8-page brief, must read across all of global Wall Street. Joe Brusuelas with us this morning. Joe, a question for Mr. Magnus.
You know, George, given how small Cyprus is and its relatively insignificant role economically in the EU, and but the order of magnitude of change that could come if it defects from the Eurozone, has it changed your view on tail risk going forward here, even if they get a solution this weekend?
Even if there is a solution, which basically allows Cyprus to, you know, reopen the banks, and on Tuesday, I think they plan to do that. You just, in one of your packages just now, you read out something about a capital controls arrangement, which I don't think we know very much about that, but I think they would have to institute or be given permission to institute capital controls, at least for a while. But of course, it doesn't solve Cyprus' problem at all, because, you know, even under the package that they get, if it's approved, Cyprus's debt to GDP will rise from about 80 to about 140%, and the rest, because the economy obviously is going to be in the soup for, you know, a considerable period of time. So it doesn't really solve anything, to be honest. It just, you know, buys some more time. Maybe that's all that Europe wants to do, you know, until the German elections are over and we can see what happens after that.
That's perfect, because Tom brought this up at the top of the broadcast, that elites are trying to keep control of a situation that's rapidly deteriorating under conditions where Cypriot citizens can only withdraw 260 euros per person per day. How long can they keep control of this realistically?
Well, I suppose, you know, there's a benign and a not so benign kind of outcome. I mean, the benign outcome would be if there was an absolute, you know, firm conviction statement about all deposits up to 100,000 euros are insured and protected and won't be confiscated. And obviously, it'll be the rich depositors or the wealthier depositors, including obviously many Russians who will kind of pay the price, really. If it's backed up, you know, in a spirit of goodwill and, you know, it was tough, but we got there in the end, I mean, it's possible that this could stabilize Cyprus for a while. But a dangerous precedent has been set with this, you know, deposit tax, really. Because even though they say it's, you know, it is a precedent, and it's not a precedent, it's just a kind of a Cyprus-only phenomenon. I mean, that's what they said about the Greek restructuring, and that's what they said about lots of other things. Weren't precedents before. So how this influences depositor behavior in Cyprus, and then obviously much more widely than that in Spain and Italy, for example, is that's what we're going to have to watch in the kind of weeks and months ahead.
George, in this crisis, we've had the privilege of speaking with so many important names within economics. Athanasios Orfanides, Willem Bouter was with us this morning from Citigroup. Let me ask you the same question. How does George Magnus define depression?
I've defined it as basically the inability of a country to basically raise its, I know this sounds a bit nerdy, but it's the inability to basically boost your GDP, you know, above wherever your previous peak was before the downturn. So that's really the first quarter of 2008. And on that basis, you know, it's really only the United States and Germany that are actually not technically in a depression. So, you know, we talk about double dips and triple dips and quadruple dips and what have you. But actually, it's all the same story. It's just you can't, the economy, there's no growth kind of fabric in the economy which can basically propel you forward again.
George Magnus, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.